Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 12 minutes or so, we're going to draw strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. This is episode 1.11, God in the Day-to-Day, Suffering. The Bible passage for this episode is Romans 5, 1-5. I'll read from the English Standard Version, the ESV. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I tell people that I grew up in Northeast Ohio, but that's not entirely true. My parents grew up in Akron, which is about 20 miles south of Cleveland, which is the anchor city in Northeast Ohio. And I was born in Akron too, but by the time I was 2 years old, we left the state of Ohio and started moving around a lot. That wasn't the plan. In fact, shortly after I was born, my parents had a house built in Talmadge, which was a growing town northeast of Akron. They planned to live in that Talmadge house the rest of their lives. But my dad's company got bought, and the managers of the acquiring company gave him a stark choice: move to headquarters in Oakland, California, or find a job with another company. My dad, who worked in HR for small manufacturing companies, couldn't find anything in Northeast Ohio, and he didn't want to move to Oakland. The best thing he could find was in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, which seemed a world away. But he had four small kids at home, so he took it. And before winter, we had all moved there. Winters in Wisconsin make winters in Ohio seem pretty mild. We made the best of our new life in Oshkosh, but my dad, who was an introvert, was extremely homesick. Of course, he never admitted this, and I was a preschooler at the time, and not especially observant one, but I figured it out much later when I was an adult. When I was five, my dad found something in Worcester, Ohio, and we moved there. It was less than an hour south of Akron, so it was close enough that we could go to church in Akron and see my dad's extended family in the Akron area. 2 years later, we moved another hour further south to the other side of Amish country in a town of about 10,000 people called Coshocton. I spent 9 years there before we moved again. Coshocton is the closest thing that I have to a hometown, but it is not in Northeast Ohio. So why do I say that I'm from Northeast Ohio? I'm not sure. I think it's because my dad is from Northeast Ohio, and like him, I'm a Cleveland sports fan. When my dad was growing up and a young adult, the Cleveland Indians were one of the best teams in baseball. They won the World Series in 1948, and they were there again in 1954. The Cleveland Browns were awesome. They won the AAFC championship 4 years in a row, and then when they joined the NFL, they won the championship of the NFL the first year they were in it. And then they won the NFL championship again 3 times in 11 years. But the last year they won it was in 1964. By the time I became a Browns fan, the Browns had stopped winning championships. They struggled to get to the playoffs, and when they got there, they blew it. Every time. An interception in the end zone when a field goal would have won the game. The drive. The fumble. And the Indians? The Indians were terrible, year after year after year. With both teams, and with the Cleveland Cavaliers and the NBA, my dad and I suffered through season after season of wait till next year. And that has continued throughout my adult life. I'm a long-suffering fan of Cleveland pro sports teams. But am I really suffering? To say that I am is to cheapen the word suffering. I think we should reserve that word for people who are going through the meat grinder in life. debilitating pain, tremendous grief, endless sickness, extreme poverty. That's suffering. And we're supposed to rejoice in our sufferings? Really, Paul? That's absurd. When we experience suffering or see someone else suffering, we want the suffering to end. Now. And during suffering, we sometimes ask, where is God? A famous author wrote 2 books on suffering. In the first, he concludes that while suffering is not good in itself, 2 good things can come out of it. 1, the sufferer can learn to submit to the will of God. And 2, those who observe the suffering can be roused to compassion and acts of mercy. The pain that suffering brings can be what he called God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. The author wrote the 2nd book on suffering just after he lost the love of his life, unexpectedly, to cancer. In that 2nd book, he says nothing positive about suffering. Instead, he cries out to God for answers on suffering and complains that he does not get a response. Here are some excerpts from that 2nd book. Meanwhile, where is God? When you are happy and turn to Him with gratitude and praise, you will be, or so it feels, welcomed with open arms. But go to Him when your need is desperate, when all other help is vain, and what do you find? A door slammed in your face, and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence. You may as well turn away. The conclusion I dread is not, so there's no God after all, but, so this is what God's really like. If God's goodness is inconsistent with hurting us, then either God is not God, or there is no God. For in the only life we know, He hurts us beyond our worst fears and beyond all we can imagine. The 1st book is entitled, The Problem of Pain. The 2nd book is, A Grief Observed. The author? C.S. Lewis. When suffering can bring even C.S. Lewis to the point of railing at God, what are we to make of it? For that, I'll go to a musical composer, Felix Mendelssohn, and one of his oratorios, Paulus, or in English, St. Paul. An oratorio is like an opera without the acting. This oratorio begins in the book of Acts, where Stephen is opposed by some who claim that they had heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. In Acts and in the oratorio, Stephen's enemies stir up the people, the elders and the scribes, who see Stephen, drag him before the council, and bring false witnesses against him. Stephen gives a stirring defense, but when he dares to accuse the people charging him and their ancestors of killing the prophets and the Messiah, they stone him to death, laying their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Saul, of course, becomes the Apostle Paul, who's the main character in the oratorio. But Mendelssohn leaves the story of Paul and inserts a breathtaking chorus. The words are based on James 1:12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. In the oratorio, the 1st line is this, happy and blessed, or blessed and happy, are they who have endured. Listen for the 2nd line at the end of this excerpt, which is from the Tabernacle Choir and is posted on their YouTube page. For though the body dies, the soul shall live forever. After Paul became a follower of Christ, he suffered a lot. He was given 39 lashes, not once, not twice, but 5 times. He endured countless beatings, including 3 beatings with rods. He was stoned nearly to death. He went through 3 shipwrecks and faced regular danger from rivers, robbers, Jews, Gentiles, and many others. He was imprisoned for 2 years in Rome, then released, and a few years later, imprisoned again. The second one would end with his execution. But Paul remained steadfast through all his trials, and, as he wrote in his second letter to Timothy, he knew that he would receive the crown of life, which God had promised to him. Paul endured. He was happy and blessed, and he would be for all eternity. Next week, I'll talk about temptation. I hope you'll join me for that. Please pick up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. You'll find it to be a good resource on this journey. Have a good week, men.